One question. So are you still going to do the 5 minute interval breaks, or are we just
Yeah.
doing this in
Oh, yeah. Well, we're live on the radio right now. This is live. The people listening, you
Okay,
know, this is
right.
live. But,
Yeah,
you know,
right.
if you have to go do something presidential, like, you know, Jimmy Carter asking in the other room and you need 5 minutes, just tell me and we'll have them play an ad on the radio. Yeah. So this is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild, mountain west in the occupied states of America. So I'm Michael Dean. This show's covered
And
by
I'm
the
Kyle Molyneux.
Cal Molyneux, some French guy. Yeah. And anybody who thinks the French were cowards doesn't know about La Resistance, huh? Isn't that what they're called? That's what they're called in South Park, bigger, longer, and uncut movie.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, it was. I saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
Did you? Or were you not born yet
No,
when that was in the theaters?
I'm not that old.
Yeah, that was like what, 95? Something, I don't know. Who knows? I think I was on drugs, so it was probably before 94. Yep. Oh,
You
kids
go in on your
today.
walker?
On my walker? What? Do I go on my walker to do drugs? Yeah, I hobble down to the corner and score from Mr. Jimmy. Is that a Rolling Stones song? No, they send people out to hobble down on walkers and score from Mr. Jimmy. Yeah.
So you never know.
Heck no. Not even when I was recording a song with Ian MacKaye. Do you know about that? I did.
Yeah.
Have you heard that one?
Rachel just told me
That
about that.
song? Yeah. I tell everybody about it who knows what DC punk rock is. Most kids today don't even know what DC punk rock is, even kids into punk rock, you know?
Yeah, I would say that's
These
accurate.
kids today, did you go to shows in the early 80s at DC?
Did I go to shows in
Yeah,
DC?
in the early
Yeah, I went to
80s.
some. No, I don't think I was alive in the early 80s.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I can't do maths. Yeah, we'll get around to the Liberty people. Don't worry. There's a message in all this madness. But yeah, so when did you last go to a show in DC? District of Criminals.
I've seen the Nick Cave in DC at the 9:30 Club.
Huh.
I seen the I think they're called Routineers. Ian MacKaye's sister, she's in a band, and they perform at the Brian McKenzie Info Shop, which is like a An Commie bookstore.
Oh man, yeah, that scene's so An Commie. You know, I made this documentary. Oh. So 9:30 Club, first of all, that's the new location at WUSD Radio Hall, right? It's like a 1,000-seat place,
Right.
or no seats, but just
Right.
big. Did you know that it used to be somewhere else and smaller?
Yeah, I did know that.
930 F Street. And did you know what happened on approximately that exact location in U.S. history? That's
Tell
where
me.
Ford's Theater was, where Lincoln was shot. And I've played that place
Wait.
four times. So I've played basically on the stage. I mean, the building's gone, but it's the spot where Lincoln was killed.
Wait, are you saying Forge Theater that's there in DC now is not the same Forge Theater that was there over 100 years ago?
Oh, is there a Ford's Theater there now? No,
Yeah,
no.
that's the Forge Theater.
No, the
Yeah.
one where, you know, John Wilkes Booth shot him and jumped down off the balcony onto the stage and got a sprained ankle or broke his leg and yelled, what is it,
Sic Semper Tyrannis,
Yeah.
death unto tyrants.
Did now
Virginia
what?
motto.
Yeah, what I didn't know about him was, did you know he was incredibly famous? It'd be like if Brad Pitt killed the president now.
Yeah, no, he was incredibly famous, and there was
Yeah.
supposed to be a lot of other people who were supposed to in line to presidency,
Seward, yeah.
but they failed.
They were
Yeah,
going to do
he
it.
still
They were going to
hasn't
kill their
succeeded.
way back to a Democrat, right? Because to
Right.
preserve the Union or the South separate, yeah.
Yeah,
Separate but equal.
those
Is
Democrats.
that what it was? Those Democrats. Well, you know, I used to live in William Seward's house in Westfield, New York. William Seward was the Secretary of State who was up in the line of succession back then, and he's one of the people they tried to kill. He built a house in Westfield, New York that's beautiful. It's like 32 rooms or something, and like eight fireplaces, and no, four fireplaces, eight bathrooms. And I lived in it for 9 months because it was for sale, and my dad was a real estate agent, and he just gotten divorced and, you know, didn't know where he was going to live or what he was going to do. So he just did what realtors do, you know, back then, and just crashed in the house while he was trying to sell it for 9 months. So I lived in that house for a while. It's pretty cool. It's a huge, huge
Nice.
house. I had a different room for everything. I had like a bedroom to sleep in, a bedroom for listening to music, a bedroom for playing music, a bedroom for science experiments. a bedroom for horticulture under lights in closets. And I remember one time my dad went in there and found a little plant growing in a little styrofoam cup and said, "What's this?" And I said, "Oh, it's a science experiment. I'm growing corn, Dad." And he said, "I used to be a farmer. This is not corn. This is a broad-leafed plant." And I said, "Must be a weed," and just watched him pluck my little plant. Darn. Enough said.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, yep. I think for the most part, a lot of the punks back then are kind of lean leftists.
They're all leftist.
Yeah.
Except, like, the ones who aren't are stupid. Like Michael Graves, who was in, like, not Danzig. What's the one? Misfits Mach 12. That's pretty much, you know, Danzig is more like the Misfits than Misfits Mach 12. But Michael Graves was in that. And he was, did you see him on the Colbert show when they...
No.
Oh, do you know who he is?
He's Colbert, yeah.
No. Well, yeah, you're French. You go to all the meetings together, right? Because you're both French.
Yeah, all the time.
I'm part French Canadian. Are you French Canadian? Are you one of those?
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
Not at all. That's not a real country.
It's not a real French Canadia. Yeah.
Canadia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Soon to be a Muslim country.
French Canadia, is it?
Yeah, soon to be.
What, Quebec is becoming a Muslim country? Really?
Well, you have people like Justin Castro.
Bieber?
Advocating for...
he's Canadian.
You know, saying like returning ISIS fighters. They should be called, you know, something else like returning foreigner vacationers or something like that.
Freedom fighters?
Freedom fighters.
Well, you know, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighters. I'm not saying ISIS is good, ISIS is bad, but to somebody, ISIS are the freedom fighters. But I wouldn't think Canada.
Right.
Yeah.
Canada.
Yeah. So the thing is, you can't
mess up there.
You shouldn't kill the president because, well, boy, that just even that statement right there is going to get us droned. Well, I mean, it's not even from the you shouldn't kill people. It's you're not going to kill your way to liberty. Put it that way. You think?
Well, you know, there was that.
La 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 la. I can't hear you. Go ahead.
There was that guy in Japan that killed that communist. The Inazo Asanuma assassination.
Oh yeah, I've seen that video.
Right, by Otoya Yamaguchi, and he drove a sword right into the side of this prominent communist politician. And as a result of that, you know, the interests died down considerably.
Maybe. Yeah.
After that.
And the president of Romania was killed on live TV. Do you know about that?
Right. No, yeah.
Virgil saw that. Virgil Viduva is Romanian. He came to America as a teenager. He's like amazing. He came to America as a teenager with $100 in his pocket from a communist country, and now he owns a mansion and drives an Audi. Yep.
Yeah, I see those pictures all the time.
Yep. Hey, I'd post those pictures all the time, too, if I had them. I just post pictures of my cats. All right, so...
So there we go. You know, they have some...
hey, I have cats. I have some wealth, some cats.
People who have been killed that you could say maybe could have stirred things in a different direction. Not to say that Japan is awesome right now.
It's not.
Yeah. I mean, they have considerably little birth rates.
Yeah, Japan's weird, man. It's like all the young men there are like... What are those guys called here that they're not abstinent, but they don't have relationships? What are they called? MGTOW?
Incels or something.
Here or there?
Yeah. Oh, here. If people don't have sex or don't enter relationships?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they call themselves MGTOW.
Yeah. MGTOW sounds like a Japanese word. MGTOW. But MGTOW. I mean, it's a horrible acronym for men going their own way something. They don't necessarily not have sex, but they don't have relationships. And the idea is that, I don't know, I've read their stuff, that women are horrible. They'll take all your money. They'll use you for children. They'll, you know, they'll have sex with all the alpha males, all the bad boys like you and I. And then when they turn 35 and they're not as valuable in the dating market, they'll find some beta cuck and marry him and make him work and have kids with him and support have him support the kids until they're 18 and then divorce him and then go back to the bad boys. Isn't that the theory?
That's generally the theory. I think they just is another way of them saying that they don't know how to date people, or how to woo women, or form these kind of relationships, or be selective. And so, because of that, you know, they get they don't have standards, and they let themselves get, you know, run over, over and over again. But that's
I'm amazed with my record back in the day that, you know, I'm not paying alimony to 26 people or something. I don't know what happened. I got lucky. I had some smarts too, but not smarts like I have now. But, you know, I was actually going to get married one time to a woman who would have been a nightmare, and she left me at the altar, which is a blessing. Yeah, yeah. And
you're going to go through with that?
Oh, I was going to go through with it. We were on drugs. We were like, yeah, man, let's get married. Let's make this moment last forever. And, and she's like, well, I got to go back to Hawaii and, you know, tie up some loose ends and close my accounts and give my boss, you know, quit my job and whatever, like do everything she has to do. And she said she'd be back in a week and we'd go get married. And she just never came back. The drugs, the drugs wore off and she never came back.
Wore off.
Yeah.
She left you at the altar in Las Vegas.
No, San Francisco.
Elvis,
no, I mean, she didn't really like, I wasn't standing on an altar, but she, you know, just, she broke our plans. I did get married and I love my wife and it's been great. We've been married for 11 years. And here's the funny thing about getting married in California. We got married at the courthouse and we walked out of the courthouse after getting married, walked out as husband and wife and immediately got panhandled. That's California for you.
Wow.
You ever going to settle down? You ever going to settle down, young man?
Yeah, I plan to have tons of kids.
Really?
Dozens, yeah.
You're not kidding?
Yeah.
Really?
Not kidding, yeah.
Well, you have good... See, I mean, I'm not that anyone shouldn't, but I thought you were kind of a player, you know?
So your wife's put up with you for 11 years, huh?
That's the way to put it. Well, this is kind of interesting because the guy who married us was a retired judge who goes and marries people for fun. I don't know. Maybe we're not even legally married. Who knows? No, it was at a courthouse. And he said he had these wacky, like we were the only people there. And then my ex-girlfriend was there as the witness because you have to bring your own witness. So I brought my ex as the witness and as the photographer. She was both. And the judge had these wacky vows that like, anybody, but I guess he just like looked at people and figured out what would work, you know, and his vow, like his, he had vows, you know, we didn't really have vows. He said like, and you blah, 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 and you blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, he looked at her and said, and Deborah, you met this man and you've promised to love and hold him and honor him. And that's great. And then he looked at me and he said, and you, Michael, you met this woman. You schemed your way into her life. I swear he said this. I recorded it, and the recording didn't turn out. I really wished it had. It was really bizarre. And he's like, you know, you found out what she liked, and you did it, and you schemed your way into her life, and you're going to stay there. And I mean, I'm surprised he didn't say, you know, like a parasite. It was just like kind of insulting, but it was really funny. It was good. It worked.
Mm.
Yeah.
I want to go back to you're talking about.
Do you want to change the subject?
Assassination markets.
I understand.
For a second.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Assassination markets, talking about them gets you door kicked in. I will preface with that, and I don't agree with it. And it's not a dog whistle. Just, you know, the guy who came up with the idea of AP or assassination politics got hounded into jail by the government for even coming up with it. And that was before there were decentralized ways that people could pay for it. His idea. What's his name? Not Art Bell. Do you know the guy's name
who
came up with AP? He was actually on Free Talk Live recently. He was at some Bitcoin. He was at a Bitcoin convention because he came up with this in like the 90s, early 90s. This idea of assassination politics was that there should be a betting pool. You know, his idea was that the only way to have liberty, I guess, is to still have a government, something wacky like that, but like get the right men in there, which is wacky. But his idea of doing that was to kill anyone who is a tyrant, and which is ridiculous because we all know that nobody but a tyrant would want to run for office. So he said that the idea was to have a Deadpool. You know what a Deadpool is, right?
Yes, that movie coming out a few weeks from now.
Well, is that a remake? There was a movie with Dirty Harry in it. Long time ago. And I think it was the character. I think it was Harry Callahan.
No, it's based on a comic book character. Come on.
Oh, Deadpool. Deadpool, the red guy. Yeah. Oh, that's funny as heck. I saw the first one. That was great. Yeah. Okay, but there is a Deadpool in Deadpool, and that's why it's called Deadpool. A Deadpool is a form of gambling where a bunch of people bet on the dates famous people are going to die, you know? And these are real things. Then there's magazines that have Deadpools that don't have any money or anything. They just say, you know, this year we think so-and-so and so-and-so is going to die. And it's usually too safe of a bet. You know, it's usually like, oh, I think Keith Richards and Britney Spears is going to die. You know, like an old guy who does drugs and a young person who drinks and drives. Like it's, they think those are safe bets. But then this would be a Deadpool where they would bet on just that a certain politician would die and you'd have to pick the day. And people would anonymously put the money in. And whoever got the day is the person who did it, because that's the only way you could actually guess the day. So that's how they'd pay out. And he came up with this idea in the 90s and presented it as a good idea, which I don't think it's a good idea. But people, the IRS hounded him to the point where he got went to jail, where it's like, and it was obviously harassment and other government agencies. And it was, you know, they would have left him alone or not come after him nearly as hard, except for he did this. Now, this was before there was cryptocurrencies that you could anonymously or pseudo-anonymously do something like that. Now it could be done, at least with Monero, which is complete. You know, you could probably do it. Someone could probably do it as an Ethereum smart contract, actually. But then Ethereum would probably fork and revert it like they did before, which was the wrong thing to do, really. You can't revert a blockchain. That's not ethical. That's not decentralized. That's not immutable to do that when somebody, you know, figures a way to game it. What do you think?
I mean, when you think about it, though, in terms of assassination markets or politics or Deadpools, sometimes people come up with the region here in America were to be a free society. And what do you do with people in China or Korea trying to nuke, you know? Say assassination politics or markets could be an avenue towards quelling those people who seek to initiate force against a free society.
So you're saying you'd save the North Korean with a Deadpool?
You could, yeah.
Yeah.
You fly a drone over there, you know, land some C4, fly away.
You know, it's funny, like saying this is dangerous, like saying what we're saying is dangerous even in a free speech zone like America, allegedly free speech zone. But this isn't anything the president hasn't tweeted about doing for less reason. You know, in the middle of the night when he's cranky and Molina won't come to his room.
Right. Even Obama assassinated two U.S. citizens.
A kid.
Without due process.
One was a kid. Or were they both kids? Right. One was his dad and one was the kid.
Right.
Yeah. And they said,
so it's not outside the scope.
What was the answer? Well, the kid should have picked a better dad. What a wrong statement, man.
Right. And that's not to say that it seems like there might be some people think there might be like this unworded pact in which heads of states won't do this to each other, but you have a whole history of the CIA doing that with all over the place, all over the world, all over South America.
Heads of state won't do it because they don't want to set a precedent, because it could be done to them. It's for the same reason that the U.S. won't. The U.S. is one of the few free-ish countries that won't get involved very much in the international, in the Hague trials, you know, in trying people in absentia for war crimes. The U.S. won't do that because they know that if they did it, it would be done to them immensely.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of legal troubles, yeah, I can see Jim Bell. You said that was his name?
Yeah, that's, no.
Yeah.
Is that it? I thought I said Art Bell. It's Jim Bell.
Yeah, Jim Bell.
Why don't you Google it? I ain't Googling that. Why don't you Google that?
Right. Yeah, and the IRS, you know, it's kind of like Al Capone. He only went to jail for two reasons. One, for having a gun in his person when he was pulled over. And the second, for hiding his money from the thugs called the IRS. That's it. Tax evasion.
And, you know,
didn't go to jail for killing anyone or anything like that.
People say that it's so clever. Like, oh, you know, the government's so clever. Like, oh, they got him for tax evasion. It's not very clever that they couldn't get him for all the murders, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But there's no evidence to show that he killed anyone. He was just a good time patron of entrepreneur of delivering these
turkeys,
distilled spirits,
and handing out turkeys on Thanksgiving. He did that.
Right. He did that.
Yeah.
So The thing is, if you hound them so much, I guess directly, they'll come after you. But I heard also at the same time, Chomsky, he doesn't.
He refuses on ethical grounds or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But the thing about that is, so because he's not vocal about it, the IRS doesn't really come after him.
Ian Freeman doesn't and is vocal about it. And it's been, what, 6 years, 10 years, something like that? He talks about it on national radio all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a friend who doesn't also, but at the same time, he doesn't have particularly like real estate or a car
anything to take
for them to kind of to take, right?
Yeah, I pay taxes, you know, and I'm not proud of it. I'm not like, hi, pay taxes. It's more like, ugh, I pay taxes. But I think you can be an agorist or a vocal activist, but you can't be both for very long, or it's not a good idea.
Or just it can be, but you know, make sure everything else is your house is in order.
Yeah, your house,
you know,
that you don't own. Yeah, that you have to rent if you're doing that.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agoristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime, or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agorist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agoristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agoristhosting.com.
Well, I mean, all the people that do it, like Adam Kokesh, people like that, that constantly get arrested and screech at the government in its face, at it, always end up begging for bail money, too. I don't really think that's a viable business plan.
And he doesn't need a beg. His father's a multimillionaire.
His dad is a half a billionaire.
Half a
billionaire.
Dad's
got like $500 million.
Right. So it's kind of easy to throw yourself at the cops every time when you know you'll get, you know, good lawyers and you know, you have a good sum of money coming in from that.
I don't know about that, but I also wonder about him personally, man, because I don't want to say anyone's a snitch, but I think that guy has more freedom than they give people who did things he did. Like, he has a, you know, federal firearms charge in D.C. of openly carrying a shotgun on camera, and then he has, you know, felony drug arrests, state charges, and he was in jail for like 2 months and he's out on probation. A couple attorneys I've talked to told me that that does not happen. He's also,
yeah, I wouldn't
like,
be surprised that he rolled on some people.
He's also left the state on probation, which, or parole, which you can do, but not usually if it's something that they consider that big. I mean, those are totally victimless crimes, and I don't think anyone should be in jail for drugs or guns, you know, peacefully holding a gun as a prop anywhere, anything, or anything with a gun that's peaceful, but, or self-defense. But yeah, he's enough said. There's a few of those out there. The crying Nazi too, man. That guy,
he got arrested again recently.
Well, he said that for something bunk.
Public intoxication and public swearing.
No. It was, the charge was public intoxication or public swearing. That was one charge, and it was public intoxication, but the name of the charge in that town, it's one of those towns with a blue law where you can't cuss in public, which is freaking ridiculous. That's Feinsteining Bull Schumer, man. You can't say that. You can't tell people they can't cuss. That's ridiculous.
If anyone feels like sending Walmart pictures to Kokesh, that number is 505-603-6283. It's a number he posted on his own website. So
Walmart pictures. What do you mean?
Walmart pictures. Walmart parking lot pictures.
Oh, I get.
Yeah.
I thought you meant go to the photo booth at the Walmart and send them.
No. Yeah. It's his running mate for 2020.
Okay. Yep. Well, you heard it here. So did you have more to say on AP
on AP?
That's what they call assassination politics.
No. No, that's it. It's Austin Peterson.
Yeah.
There's an old picture of Austin Peterson of, like, I guess he was really into medieval. Like dressing up in character. Yeah.
Weird stuff. Kink dress up.
Like, he had really long hair. Yeah. Had a sword. He looked like a super edgelord.
Yeah. What's an edgelord for people on the radio who don't really have the internet or don't know much about it?
You can say it's someone who tries real hard to be cool. Well, those are the people who wear the those hats. What kind of hats were they?
Kitty cat hats?
Not kitty cat hats.
Pepe edgelords. Hats?
They wear these, MAGA? Sometimes they harbor, they have these samurai swords in their...
Oh, the ones that are into the Japanese culture? Like the alt-right that are into the Japanese culture? Is that what you're talking about?
And the name of those hats that they wear, I keep forgetting.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. You mean like a Japanese traditional like dress?
No, it's like us. Never mind.
I don't know,
I'll find it.
I don't know. Google edgelord hat, people.
Edgelord hat.
Or don't.
Or don't. So something I came across this morning I thought was kind of funny.
Oh, wait. Hold that thought. Do you use cell 411? Do you know what cell 411 is?
Yeah, dude, I got that on my phone.
Have you used it? Has it saved your life yet?
No, not yet.
Well, it's like a fire extinguisher or, you know, accident insurance. You don't need it till you use it. It's an app people could get for free for Android or iPhone, cell 411, and you use it for calling your friends instead of the police because your friends won't come and shoot you. And if they do, you should get new friends. I just had to shove that in there because, you know, I don't like it when people do stupid segues. I just like to break, do an ad, and come back. You know, when people do, like, Nima Vedati and I used to make fun of that. We'd say, like, on Hannity. Hannity's really ham-fisted at it, you know. He does stuff like, and we should bomb the Muslims back to the Stone Age. And you know what else is Stone Age? Having hard water. So in my home, I have a hard water filter from, stuff like that.
Fedora, that's the name of the hat.
Oh.
You ever wear Fedora?
No. No. Why, I think you'd get your butt kicked for doing that and saying, happy Monday. What is it? Looks like someone's got a case of the Mondays and they're wearing a fedora hat. No.
There we go.
No.
Anyways.
Time for my annual haircut, though. I shave my head once a year and let it grow back. It's not a fashion statement. It's just a really easy way to take care of your hair.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yep. All right. So what were you going to say? Tell me all about it. Go ahead.
Have their own place, and so they had to turn their offices into a cot or sleep on the couch.
In Japan?
No, here in Congress. Congressmen, they do that.
Oh, well, there's a TV show where it's a sitcom about four congressmen who live together. Have you seen this one? It sounds like a joke, but it's real.
Maybe that's what they should do.
It's called Alpha House, and it's created by the guy who created Doonesbury. What's his name? He's French, isn't he? French-Canadian? Trudeau. His name is Trudeau, but not... Yeah, Gary Trudeau.
Yeah, no, he's Cuban.
Is he?
No, Justin Trudeau is
oh, no. Castro. Oh, but Gary Trudeau is the guy who made... I get it. Wait, Trudeau's not Cuban. You're just saying he's a commie?
No, he's Fidel Castro's son.
No, he isn't.
Yeah, he is. They look exactly the same.
But he's not his son. His dad is another Trudeau that used to date Mick Jagger's girlfriend in the 70s.
Nope.
His dad was a stud muffin.
Nope.
Wait, you talking about the president of Canada, Trudeau?
Yeah.
No, his dad
Justin,
was...
Castro.
What?
Yeah, his mom had a liaison with Fidel Castro. You know, she spent time with him. Yeah,
someone said you look like Fidel Castro in a picture they saw. No, you look like Che Guevara. Ugh. In that picture where you've got like an AK-47 and a bottle of whiskey and a Mao hat on out in the woods. I like that hat.
Gun club.
Yeah. Yep. Did you say that's gun club?
Yeah, that's gun club. We have a gun club this Sunday.
Oh, I thought you meant you were listening to the band, the Gun Club. Do you like the band?
Yeah,
that's before your time.
Yeah, I'm not that old.
Yeah. I asked you how old you are, and you said, am I being detained? But go on.
Am I being detained? Yeah. Gun club's a Sunday. We go out and shoot on private land and drink and hang out. It's a lot of fun.
Cool. Drinking and guns. Yeah.
Yeah. Great combination.
People already make Am I Being Detained t-shirts. I was going to make some, but there's not many of them. By Sovereign Citizens t-shirt. Those sound like people that'd kill me if I made a t-shirt that said that too, even though they didn't think of it. Yeah.
Are you trying to get Am I Being Detained t-shirts out there?
Well, I got an account now to make T-shirts on Amazon, and I've got a few designs out there. I think there's one of them in your home right now. But you know what I should do? If you'd let me do this and keep the little tiny nothing money I'll make from it, can I take the picture of you drinking with a rifle in your hand and the Mao hat and put it on a T-shirt that says, "Am I being detained?"
Go for it.
Do you have a high-res picture, high-res version of that? Who took that?
Yeah, I'll take a look for it.
Yes, that's it. Yes, that's really okay. Funny. Yep. So then what happened? Trudeau did what to you now? This show, you got to check out this show. It's Alpha House, and it's like made by inveterate liberals, but like kind of the good kind, like the old school anti-war, anti-Vietnam, kind of pro-freedom type from back in the day. But it's about four Republican congressmen who live in a house, and John Goodman plays one of them. He's always funny. I mean, there's a lot of it is just an excuse for, like, you know, two female congresswoman, congress critter characters to, like, basically lecture the male Republicans about why they're wrong about everything, which is just ugh. But it's one of those things of, like, it's such good writing and drama, and it, you know, half the time it's right. It's hard to turn away. It's like a car crash.
No, I'd watch that. I'd watch that. I mean, I don't think politicians get along together these days.
It's so. On Amazon.
You Amazon say these Prime. Are Japanese politicians?
What?
You say these are Japanese politicians?
No, these are American congressmen and senators.
Wait, as a show?
Yeah, it's called Alpha House. Google it right now. Wow. Alpha House with John Goodman, man. Yeah, it's got Wanda Sykes. Wanda Sykes is one of the liberals who's constantly lecturing her friend, John Goodwin, the Republican.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, as a TV show, it's not a real life thing.
Oh, no. Right. I mean, isn't that every sitcom going back to the first sitcom, which was The Honeymooners, is like four people who are very different who live in a house together. In The Honeymooners, they don't live in the same apartment. They live across the hall in two different apartments, but they're always in each other's apartments. Yeah. You know, it's Friends, but with congressmen and liberal nanny stater lessons.
Roseanne.
Oh, is it coming back? Is John Goodman on it?
It's coming back.
Is John Goodman on it?
The whole cast is there.
Wow.
And they're going to start off right where they left off as if nothing happened. The only difference is...
they're 25 years older.
Just aside from that, is that they're conservatives. They're pro-Trump.
They were kind of conservative back then, though, weren't they?
I don't remember. But this one, they're going to be more vocally assertive in that position.
Well,
to be
Roseanne's into Guns and Weed, the actress.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh,
do you know
great.
That? I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if John Goodman is, let's see, he's sober. He attends AA every morning. Drank for 30 years. Doesn't say what his politics are, but... In that movie, you ever see the show Tremé? That's a really good show. The New Orleans show. He's a main character in that show, and he gives some rant at some point that sounds conservative to me or libertarian. He's a teacher at Loyola. Loyola? Is that what it's called? And he's getting laid off, and he's like, I think he's an English professor. No, he's not getting laid off, but he's reading the list of professors that are getting laid off, and this is... supposed to be like a year after the hurricane when they're just barely starting to recover a little bit. And he's like, let's see, they're keeping women's studies, African-American studies, and they're getting rid of electrical engineering, computer programming, and mechanical engineering. So they're getting rid of everything you'd need to rebuild after a hurricane. And they're keeping everything that's about being in touch with your feelings. Yeah, real good plan. That doesn't sound like a liberal.
No, not at all, of course. Yeah.
And it's a character, but a lot of times these days they seem to cast people or write to people, you know, like they seem there's characters that when you see them out of character giving interviews, they are the characters they play, you know.
Yeah, some people can't act, they only know how to play themselves.
But they're really good at it. Yeah. He might
they're
be one.
Good at it.
Yeah.
Who would you back as an anti-pope?
So, Pope, the Pope polls are in. How did you vote in the Pope polls?
I'm voting for, I'm backing Kobe Kennington as the anti-Pope, since Pope Francis came out recently saying, do we really want peace?
Colby Kennington?
Yeah, that guy. You know,
the guy with the mohawk and the flower in his rifle or shotgun.
That
guy? Yeah. I met him at Porkfest. They have a picture of me standing next to him, looking like that.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Yeah.
So the Pope says, if we really want peace, then let's ban all weapons, so we don't have to live in fear of war. And this is,
if you ban all weapons, you'd live in a world where everyone's hitting each other over the head with 2x4s and clubs and rocks.
And really. Paper. Don't forget paper. Paper. Right?
Get, paper beats paper rock. Cuts, man. You could run around with paper and just cut people. I'll cut you.
You have like those, you have the schools arming, teachers with rocks, and students are having like these rocks in case there's a shooter.
I saw that, and people laughed at it. And it is ridiculous that that's all the law will allow. But I'm still for it. You know why?
Why?
Because it teaches people that it's okay to defend yourself. In California, they teach you to curl up in a ball under your desk and that it's not okay to fight back ever.
But what if the shooter has paper?
You are such a punk, man. You're funny.
Yeah.
You right. Punk.
So the Pope, you know, how's he going to enforce this? You need threats, not just with rocks, with guns to kind of enforce that sort of thing. But it's funny because the Pope himself has, when he's not behind his
bulletproof
glass, Pope Mobile, right? He's guarded by the Swiss Guard, Vatican Police, you know, and Swiss they Guard. Have a lot of weapons.
Yeah, Swiss Guard is my favorite guitarist and favorite member of Death Clock. Swiss Guard, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, they have an arsenal. Apparently, if you go, if you look this online, they have an arsenal that dates back hundreds of years. Like, think maybe 500 years of all the different kinds of weapons throughout the ages that they had to use. So you know, they're not just carrying those like pole pikes. They also have.
I know. You know, six That's stars, what you think. You think they just look like, you know, gendarmes or something from the 1200s, just carrying pikes. But no.
Right.
That's the ceremonial dress. That's like the U.S. equivalent would be the Marines in their fancy dress, you know, holding their rifles or swords up, you know, to make an arch for someone to walk through. It's just the ceremonial version.
Right. They carry, semi-automatic pistols. They carry tons of guns. So.
And they can kill you with impunity probably in any country in the world.
Of course.
Especially where they are now. Yeah. I have a funny Pope story. You want to hear it? It's got punk rock in it.
Tell me.
Yeah. So, I'm looking at the map right now for F Street, Ford's Theater. I didn't know Ford's Theater still existed, or at least they had a theater with that name that's allegedly on that spot. Is that?
Yeah, dude, I've been there. Yeah,
was it moved, or is that actually the spot?
That's the spot.
It's around the corner from the old spot.
Okay.
Okay, so.
I've been there, yeah.
Yeah. 9th Street, 9th and F, and this theater is on 10th and F. So it's, but the 930 Club, let's see, that would have been, it was right around the corner. It was like a half block, you know, because they're both in the middle of the block. Maybe it's a block, but yeah, the 930 Club is, they used to, I was told it was on the spot of Ford's Theater, but I didn't know that really Ford's Theater was around the corner because I always went there on foot from the subway at night, and it was just a sketchy neighborhood at night in the 90s and the 80s, and you know, I didn't want to go exploring at night on foot in that neighborhood. It's probably nice now. There's a J. Crew on that block. There was a wig store on the spot where the J. Crew is now, man. That has changed a lot. You know, anywhere there's a wig store is not a good neighborhood. I'll tell you that.
So you were bamboozled.
Like the movie?
Like tricked into believing that this is where... Yeah, that shot.
They probably just said that there so we'd play for $25 in beer, you know?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's where they kill presidents. Come on in. Bring your amps.
Another thing a lot of people don't know about, like in D.C., people think that you can't build buildings higher than the Washington Monument.
That's poop. That's horse poop.
That's poop. Yeah, yeah. Actually, the Nassau Cathedral is technically the highest building in the city because it sits on a higher elevation plane. There was a long time ago, about 100 years ago, there was a hotel that wanted to shut up shop in D.C., and they got all the paperwork and everything, but they had this D.C. local politicians who didn't particularly like that, competitors, and passed a law that says that you can't build a building taller than the one across the street from you, plus prevented this new hotel from being built.
You have to do math to build in that town, it sounds like.
Yeah, so it can grow slowly, so you know these things take forever.
Well, theoretically, that could end up with mile-high buildings. It'll just take a while.
Right. So that's, yeah, so that's why there's no, see, is trying to prevent competition.
Yeah.
which sucks because you have like one of the worst traffic congestions in the entire country right after, I think, New York and San Francisco.
I DC. Wouldn't know.
I lived in D.C. for 15 years. So.
Oh, the last time I drove in D.C. was when I saw the Dead Kennedys play their last American show, or one of them. No, that was later. This was when I saw them play in like 83 or 84, and it was at the new, was it 84? No, it was later than that. It was after I moved to Charlottesville, and I drove up to see Dead Kennedys with some friends, and it was at WUST Radio Hall before it was called 930 Club. It was just called WUST Radio Hall, and they would just rent it to do a show, but it wasn't always a venue. And my tires got slashed in the parking lot across the street. That was a bad neighborhood then, too. Is it now?
Wasn't it? What streets? What neighborhood?
I don't know. WUST Radio Hall. Well, we're at the new 930 Club, where you saw Nick Cave.
Oh, no, that's a great, that's a good neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, that was a horrible neighborhood then, too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's all good. I mean, you don't want to hang out. That's also on, like you said, Florida Avenue, which goes towards like Meridian Park. It used to have a lot of murders, and it used to be a bad neighborhood even like over a decade ago. But all the bad stuff happens in Southeast D.C.
Yeah, it used to happen in Northwest, actually.
Northwest, yeah. Northwest is like, it's incredibly rich. So I don't really, you can walk, you know, calmly anywhere you want in Northwest.
Well, when I was there, it was like, a lot of Northwest was the best. It was the best part of town, the best quadrant, but it still had a lot of really crappy areas that I think are all gone now, and everyone's been pushed. It's poor has been pushed to the south because it was the strangest city I'd ever been to in America in one way back then. In that there were gorgeous, expensive neighborhoods a block from just cracked out, burned out building dumps. It's probably not like that anymore. Stuff doesn't stay that way for long. There's too much money in renovating it.
Yeah, everything's good now. Everything's kind of nice out there. It's super expensive, but, you know, that's just the way things are. But I look at Northern Virginia kind of like a suburb of D.C.
It is. It's a bedroom community for the government.
Yeah. I did see Bad Brains out in Nova some years ago. Yeah, I guess they were coming back together.
Was it all original members?
They didn't really.
One of them died recently.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, the original singer was there. But I think he's the one that died recently. Yeah.
No. It was Daryl Jennifer, the guitar player.
Okay. But yeah, it's a good scene. I love D.C. If I did a move to Richmond, I'd probably start the Liberate D.C. chapter instead. I probably would have gone there.
That'd be difficult. Yeah, H.R. is still alive. Dr. No's still alive. Daryl Jennifer, the bass player. God, he's still alive? He had a lot of health problems recently. Yeah, I guess they're all still alive. I have a funny secondhand story about HR was that a friend of mine booked a show of theirs in Toledo of his solo band HR, and HR stayed at his house, and somebody had told him, like, you know, hide your phone. This is back when there weren't phones, you know, and it cost money to make long distance calls. They said, like, he will call up all his friends and talk all night on your phone and run up your phone bill. So they hid the phone, and they went, they like had a little weed. They gave him a little weed, you know, said, go to bed. And like after a couple hours, he started banging on their door and demanded more weed and like wouldn't go away until they like opened the door and threw out a half ounce of weed and then shut the door. And he just like went away. Another story about him is that he, someone I know was friends with one of his wives. He was married to three or four women in three or four cities. And he had his DC wife one time. He said, drive me and, you know, drive to New York City, made her wait in the car while he went up and spent about 6 hours with his New York City wife and then had her drive him back. Yeah. Hmm. Old traditional values, you know.
Were you a fan of Scream?
Oh, yeah. I've seen Scream a bunch of times. I've jumped on stage with them singing. I booked their first show in Charlottesville. The night they played there, somebody gave me a black cat, and I named it Skeeter after their black bass player. Had a cat named Skeeter. And I've hung out with Skeeter, hung out with him, and can't say what we did, but had fun. I mean, it wasn't sexual. It was the other thing. But let's see, I used to see him with Dave Grohl in the band way back in the day, in the early 80s. He was amazing back then, even way before he was in Nirvana.
Oh, yeah. He was a past member.
That's right. Yeah, Pete Stahl, singer, great singer. He could actually sing, unlike most hardcore singers, but HR could sing too. So anyway, let's get back to Liberty, because people on the radio don't know what we're talking about. We might as well be talking.
Unless some of them are into like punk stuff, and they're like, oh man, that's awesome to hear some of this.
Yeah,
stuff,
we're on conservative talk radio. They're not into punk.
Yeah.
They're not in. I mean, we could talk about Miley Cyrus and it would be as foreign to people on the radio. I'm kidding. There's people who listen to the radio, you know, because we're on late at night. So it's alcoholics and
something
unemployed. And
funny that came up recently is Finland, you know, just came out recently saying that their basic universal income failed. I think that's hilarious. You know, who'd have thought
that giving people free money wouldn't help society?
Wouldn't help. Yeah, yeah. Wouldn't help at all.
Yeah.
It actually disincentivizes people don't want to work. It's like, yeah, why work? I got money, you know?
Well, people it's going to
like
be...
this whole,
go ahead.
I said people think it's like this whole socialist communist thing. Like, oh, what's the incentive to work? Well, not for money, not for profit. Oh, just because to help other people, I guess, you know, out of their good nature. Sure, but, you know, at some point, some of the people wouldn't want to do that. And, you know, that's the whole reason why Jamestown in the first 2 years failed. People starved to death.
Jamestown, Virginia, right, where the Pilgrims were.
Jamestown, Virginia.
And then they,
right, yeah.
And then the Indians had a dinner for them, and then a year later they came back and killed the Indians and took their food. That was the second Thanksgiving.
No.
Isn't that the story?
Not in Jamestown. Jamestown, it was, they starved, they tried to trade, but the thing is, it had a rule that said to each according to their ability, to each according to their need.
I've heard that.
You could work, but if you could, but if you need food, get as much food as you need it. But then the people who could work stopped working when those would feign illness and were malingering. Would not
malingering.
So
that's a great
what
word.
What would be the incentive for them to continue working hard if other people are not working hard as well and they still get the same share of resources? So is this drove down incentive to be productive, and that's why they starved until a new governor came in and said, okay, you know what? We're never done with this. This is your land. This is your plot of land. This over here is yours. Grow whatever you want. Keep the profit and establish private ownership of land ownership. And from there, they stopped starving and everything changed.
Free market, good. Yeah, and I used to live in Jamestown, New York, not Virginia, Jamestown, New York, with Phil, who is a freedom fiend and is the poet laureate of Biptunia. I got to write that down. Poet laureate of Biptunia, went to college in Jamestown. And that is a really economically depressed town. A lot of the Great Lakes towns are.
The 6th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, from Thursday, June 21st through Monday, June 25th. There will be all sorts of activities in a family and adult-friendly environment. Scheduled speakers include Dana Martin, Brett Vanat, Prof. CJ, and Scott Horton. Round up your friends and family members and get them registered today at mplfest.org. That's Mike Papa Lima Fest.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
I mean, that's 10 miles from Lake Erie, but it's a Great Lakes town. But it used to be one of the most economically successful towns in the eastern U.S. because it was the home of Crescent Tools, you know, and it was... They had unions and everybody was making a great wage. And the thing with unions is that they ask for too much and then they make the Crescent Tools in Hong Kong and then everyone's unemployed. That town has really high unemployment. I mean, it's like it's a very depressing place to go. A friend of mine was shot to death in his home by a friend that he went to high school with. And that's the grade school with. And that's the kind of town it is. For no reason, he shot him. Just shot him. Yeah, killed him. But it's a depressing place, man. I've traveled the world all over Europe, all over America, you know, and like not in a limo or like staying in nice hotels, but like sleeping in cars and on people's couches and stuff, touring with bands and cheap hotels where people get murdered. And the 3 out of the 5 times I've ever felt in danger of being killed, and really was, 3 of them were in Jamestown, New York. 2 of them, you know, one of them was in New Orleans, and then one of them was in Alphabet City, New York, back when they called it Alphabet City. So, yeah.
Wait, yep. Are we talking about the same Jamestown and Virginia?
No, I said Jamestown, New York, man. I was just segueing to another story about people who don't want to work.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, yeah.
No, I never lived there. Is there still a Jamestown, Virginia?
Yeah,
is it a reenactor?
Williamsburg.
Is it just a reenactor place?
They have pretty much, yeah.
What a life, man.
That's where they'll go.
You know, that's
staying character too.
That's what my friend says about a lot of bands. Like a lot of bands who sound like bands, you know, like all punk bands sound like Minor Threat pretty much, you know, or the Cro-Mags. They all sound like a couple bands from 25, 30, 33 years ago. And a lot of bands and a lot of rock bands sound like the Stooges, you know, a lot of bands and my friend, and they wear the right clothes and they have the right look, but they're not quite right. And they're copying other people. My friend calls them reenactors. You know, he said they're like Civil War reenactors.
That's funny. It would be true. Yeah.
Yep.
And you said you're from Charlottesville, right?
Charlottesville. Yeah. I'm not from there. I lived there for 3 years. Did not go to college there. Just, you know, I liked being there. I liked it. You know, the funny thing about college towns, you know, the next line.
No.
I get older and they stay the same age.
Yeah.
There will be a line you would know. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Seems like a line you'd know.
That's why you know it.
Hey, do you know what music, did you know there's a study recently that music affects your brain waves and changes them while you're listening to the music and for a while afterwards? And that's why different people like different kinds of music. They're predestined to like it.
That's why if you go to a restaurant and the music person, the music is loud purposefully to hide the fact that the food is actually distasteful and not that
great.
They
don't want you talking about it.
Well, not so much. It distracts you.
Because that makes me think the food tastes worse than it does if the music's annoying.
No, it's there to disguise it.
I don't really want music while I eat.
Make it more appetizing.
I also don't want waiters. Like, waiters are in the way. I can't wait. I welcome our robot overlords, and I want to talk about robots for a minute, but go ahead.
They have places like Noodles and Company that you don't have to tip your waiter. Because I feel the same way. I feel like, look, I can get up and get my own food.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, man. You know?
Yeah. I'd rather tip the chef, you know?
Yeah,
and
there you go.
I'll go up there and get my own dish and my own drink. You know, thanks. I'm quite capable of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But some people, how much? What percentage do you tip?
I don't go to restaurants. I hate restaurants. I don't like going out. But, you know, between 15 and 20.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
I mean, I tip 15.
Right, yeah.
I tip 15 when people deliver to my house, and most people don't tip at all or tip 5%. But, yeah.
Yeah, I think 15% is a standard. Someone was telling me earlier that that's really low.
It is kind of low now. Yeah. But that's because... Oh, I don't know. It's because they don't pay them and, you know, they want $15 an hour. And I welcome our robot low overlords. That's what I want to talk about is if you're done with that topic, is there more on that? On meals and the people who bring them to you?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. I really wonder what's going to happen. You know, I was thinking about this with the basic income thing. What's going to happen when most of the jobs are done by robots and there's mass unemployment?
You need people to make those robots. You need people to maintain those robots. You need people to code those robots.
You need people to code them and maintain them, but they're going to be made by robots.
You think robots are going to make other robots?
Absolutely. They already do, for the most part. Robots are a lot more widespread in other countries than they are in America, but they're getting more widespread here, too. There are, you know, many factories in America that do things that are repetitive and simple and handsy, like... textiles, you know,
there'll be other interesting market opportunities that arise that we can't even think about. Like right now, for instance, you have that
sex work.
There's an interest, sex work, organic food, right? People want different kinds of food. Things people want kind of things that are kind of natural grown. People, there might be like, hey, we hate robots. We want this to be an anti-robot town. this is great music made by a robot, but we prefer human music.
That's a movie. You know? That's a movie. What's the? There's a movie. Oh. There's a show that's where robots are common, humanoid robots are common, and there's a town that chooses to not have robots. It's called Humans. Have you seen that show?
It's called The Amish.
Yeah, no, it's about the British. It's about the British. It's a British. The best sci-fi now is British. It's kind of like Black Mirror. Have you seen Black Mirror? It's like the Twilight Zone.
That's a good show.
Yeah. Now, robots. Black Mirror is like individual episodes that are completely more or less self-contained. But robots. Humans is an ongoing show that's in its third or fourth season. It's amazing. Kind of the same vibe as Black Mirror, but not quite as dark. But you know, it's a world in the not too distant future, like 5 or 10 years, probably 20 years, but it looks more like 5 years from now, where, you know, you can, if you could afford a new car, you could afford a robot servant living in your home, you know, that does everything from like clean really well to, you know, get your kids ready to work for school, to, you know, teaching your kids and answering their questions intelligently about where things come from, and also having sex with you if you want to. So that's the world that they're predicting in 5 or 10 years. But that's a theme in that show, is, you know, there are massive riots because people are unemployed and starving, and you know, there's still welfare, but it's like it's overwhelmed too, and the economy's collapsing except for the robot industry. I think that's 10 years down the road, tops, in this country even.
You do have another alternative. There's a movie that came out called Surrogate with Bruce Willis, in which people don't really go out in their human skin to do their work. They have a robot that they sync up with at home, and that robot for them kind of goes to work.
Wow.
And, you know, they look polished, they look clean, they look without impurities, all this sort of stuff.
What's it called?
They do everything.
This sounds like my movie.
It's called,
Style.
Surrogate. And it's got Bruce Willis. And the funny thing about, let me find this film, Bruce Willis. The funny thing about this one is that, so he's married, Bruce Willis, in this movie, Surrogate. His wife, though, they don't really see each other. They only see each other as the robots. They live in the same house. She has her own room, but she doesn't like going out because she's kind of old in real life. But her robot self, it's younger
sexy
looking.
And young. And, oh, man. That's weird.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
This really sounds like my kind of show. I'm very into these themes, and it's coming. I mean, I read an article about a factory in, it was Alabama or West Virginia. It was somewhere where they make widgets of some kind. And they'd had trouble keeping people hired. You know, they couldn't keep competent workers, and they were paying people well over minimum wage. They were like, you know, it used to be like $12.50 an hour, and they're like, all right, we're going to pay people $15 an hour. And they got a bunch of people in who, you know, most of them didn't last the week. Almost none of them lasted the month. Then the few that still showed up and did a good job would get, you know, arrested for Vicodin or something and end up in prison, of course, you know, which is the government's fault. But even without the government, it's like they couldn't keep people there. And there's this company that rents robot arms that can do a lot of things, pretty much anything someone on assembly line does. And they rent the robots for $15 an hour. That's an interesting message to send. And, you know, they'll work three shifts a day. They don't show up late. They're not hungover. They don't have excuses. They just happily sit there and screw A into flange B over and over and over all day and do it perfectly, you know. And they send someone to the factory with the robot to, like, train it. And in a lot of situations, this is really creepy, they have people on the assembly line, like the 3 out of 100 that can still do the job and show up, working with the robots and teaching the robots. Like, here, this is the guy, the thing that's going to replace you, sit and work with it for a month, you know? That's weird. That must be disheartening.
Well, if you look in the time span of, like, the past several decades, especially up to, like, the 1950s, the number of work hours per worker has gone down considerably, which means more time for leisure. Right?
That's because of the government, son.
Yeah, right.
No, it's not.
So that's you find as the market continues to grow and say, like, hey, yeah, maybe these robots will help us in these areas, but we can't really predict what new products or industry will arise from that.
Well, also, there's some jobs that can be done now easily with inexpensive robots, and there's others that it'll be a while before the robots can do the jobs. I mean, talk radio host, I mean, I hate to pretend to think I'm irreplaceable, but I think this is a harder job for a robot to do than screwing something into a hole or screwing 50 things into 50 holes in very precise ways, even. I don't know, though. I don't want to speak too soon. What do you think?
There's a good website I think you should check out called humanprogress.org.
Ah, and sounds lefty, but it's probably not, huh?
No, it's not. And it keeps track of total annual hours worked in all different countries, all the way coming from like the 1950s.
And does it keep track of robot hours worked?
I know, right? So would you merge with the robot? Would you become a transhumanist?
Well, I don't know, but I just looked at this site, and the top article on it is called 7 Jobs Robots Will Create or Expand.
Yeah.
So it's on your side, this site is.
But it's on there. I'll show you the link. I think it's...
I'm on it. Humanprogress.org.
Okay, cool. Anyways, did you see the Avengers film?
No. I don't see films like that. And I'm not saying I'm better than you. I don't have an interest in that. I've never seen Iron Man. You know, I don't watch big Hollywood movies usually.
Well, these sort of things are kind of interesting. So it's like reveals like what the writers of the show are really about. Like you have the Star Trek.
Go ahead.
The needs of the many outweighs the needs of the one.
That
right?
Sounds familiar.
And Spock sacrifices himself. You know, that's another way of saying.
Kami.
Kami. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so, and Thanos in the Avengers, you have his reason for wiping out half the universe is overpopulation. Right.
Hmm.
So it gives you an insight of where the writers for the show, for the movie, are coming
from. So the eugenicists.
Right.
Like Walt Disney. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think it's, you know, tracing it back outside of this fantasy world. There's people writing about this sort of stuff. And I think that's kind of
I was watching a movie with my wife one time, and it was about some screenwriter. You know, the hero in it was an author. You know, he was a book writer who was estranged from his wife and trying to get his kid back and doing other things, but that was part of the setup. And I said to her, why are so many movies about writers who are divorced and trying to get their kids back? And she said, because movies are written by men who are writers who are divorced and trying to get their kids back.
That's funny.
People do put a lot of, you know, themselves into Hollywood films. And they also, I find it really disgusting when they try to get really preachy. Often, especially not just because the preaching is stupid and doesn't really have a place in the thing, but also just how ham-fisted sometimes. Like, people will be having a normal conversation and then one of them will almost go into a soliloquy that you can tell it's like something... It's a speech that the writer is writing in his head and just gives this character. Or sometimes they'll break it up back and forth between two characters, and you can tell because the two characters who seem different suddenly seem very the same and speak in the same voice to each other and finish each other's sentences. It's really cheesy. Politics.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminded me, like, maybe that's why Robin Williams was in Mrs. Doubtfire, you know, the breaking of the family and all that stuff. He's had... many instances where he has ex-wives. I think in the end, he owed like $30 million in alimony to ex-wives.
Wow.
Yeah, $30 million.
That's a MGTOW. That's a poster. He's the poster boy for MGTOW right there.
Right.
That's a recruitment poster.
So you see him being in that movie where, you know, the family breaks up and he's trying to put the family together for the kids and all this stuff, but it could have also lent to his like depression and suicide.
Yeah. He didn't write that though, did he? But he was in it.
He was in it. Yeah. He was Doubtfire. Yeah.
I mean, he has a choice of whether he's in it or not.
Right. Yeah. And he's a big name. So he kind of influenced in the direction. You know?
Probably. Yeah. Like I said, they write for the person sometimes.
Right.
And And Stephen King, the horror writer, said in an interview one time that Misery, you know, the story of Misery, where he's a writer who's delivering his finished novel to, you know, leaving the woods of Vermont to go to drive to New York and give it to his publisher, you know, famous writer. It's basically him. I think it's Paul Newman playing him, maybe. No, who is it? Somebody. This guy's in The Godfather. Anyway, and he gets in an accident and his biggest fan rescues him. Spoiler alert. 35-year-old movie, but spoiler alert. And she nurses him back to health, but she won't let him leave. And she breaks his leg so he can stay there and rewrite the ending, because she reads his whole book while he's sleeping, his unpublished book, and doesn't like the ending because he kills off her favorite character, and he makes, you know, keeps him captive to rewrite it. And he said that he didn't realize that at the time, but when he was writing that, it was his, I don't know, fourth or fifth book, something like that, one of his early big books, and he was addicted to cocaine and drinking. And he said that the woman, the fan that kidnaps him in that, is his addiction, and that he was afraid to write something new and interesting and not in the formula he developed, because he was afraid that he wouldn't be able to afford cocaine and constant drinking in his lifestyle, you know. And the nurse in that, she's a nurse, so the nurse in that, it's Kathy Bates, is holding him prisoner. That's his addiction, holding him prisoner, to keep him writing the same story over and over and over.
Is that what keeps you going and making these fiends? Who's their fortune to make?
Who's my nurse holding me captive? Yeah. Well, it's not an addiction, and it's not the money. I don't make much. Actually, I'm getting to the point where now that we have one advertiser, I'm in about a year, if we still have the one advertiser, probably in 9 months, I will have broken even for the 7 years I've done this show, because I've lost a lot of money on the show. But a lot of it has kind of been stuff I would consider part of the show, but part of not, that was kind of charity, like buying microphones for 30 people that I never asked for back. I started asking for them back recently, but I don't anymore. And people just have to buy their own gear now, but I'll tell them what to buy and what's good. And I've done all the research and things like that. And I've also done things like bought a bunch of stickers and promo stuff and sold some of it, but give it away way more. There are at least 15,000 Freedom Fiends buttons in the world, and, you know, a lot of stickers, a lot of hate speeches, state speeches, hate speech stickers, and Bitcoin stickers, and Biptunia stickers, and, well, that's not really part of the Fiends thing, but yeah, I've just, you know, lost money on it constantly. So I don't do it for money. I do it because I've wanted to have a radio show since I was a kid. Some weeks I don't even feel like doing it, but I do it anyway, so I'll still have a radio show for when I feel like doing it the following week. But I don't really do it when I don't feel like it. I either usually put up a replay, or if I'm too busy, or I have, you know, someone else does a show and I'm not on it. But I love being on radio, man. And it's I like podcasting, and we do this as a podcast too, but I love being on radio. I love the idea of kind of the message in a bottle, of like throwing this message out there to people who might just be listening and never have found us. We reach people that never would find us on the internet. I do know that from stuff people have written me. So, yeah, man.
That's pretty cool.
To spread liberty and be able to yak on the radio. It's powerful, man. Also, I say this as a joke, but I'm a little bit half serious. I'm on the radio still because we reach into space. Because we're on, you know, like we're on one station that's 93,000 watts in Montana. And it's, you know, like a 5-watt station. Well, the 10,000-watt station we're on in Oklahoma City reaches far more people than the 93,000-watt station we're on in Montana. It's in, you know, very rural area. But I like being on that station because that's enough power to broadcast it into space. And I really like the idea that, you know, 4.5 years from when it started broadcasting, someone on Alpha Centauri might have heard it. Or further, you know, who knows how long it'll get there. You know who the first human that is going to be heard by extraterrestrial life is?
Who's that?
Hitler. Hitler was the first person to speak on a radio station that was powerful enough to broadcast into space. Yeah. I mean, there was radio before that, but it was like, you know, a few watts here and there. But Hitler, because he wanted to conquer the world, had his scientists build over a million watts. And there's, you know, the most powerful AM stations in America are 50,000 watts. There's one in my town that's 50,000 watts that people have heard in Japan, because at night AM skips from the clouds and skips back down, and they've heard the Casper, Wyoming station in Japan. And there's a couple, there's some FM stations that are over 100,000 watts, like the one we're on is 93,000 watts, but there are very few stations that powerful, and there's nothing that'd be a million watts, because first of all, a million watt radio station would like cause cancer to everybody within, you know, a mile of it. I mean, it would destroy life probably eventually. But, you know, it was Hitler. He didn't care. And it was probably out in a remote area anyway. So yeah, he was he's going to be the first person that is hurt by extraterrestrials, and that's going to be their first taste of Earth. Man,
that's
so
really funny.
So I'm on the radio to counter that.
Have you ever heard of the YouTube documentary? I think it's like 6 hours long. The Greatest Story Never Told.
No, what's that?
So it's an interesting take in trying to spin World War II in the view of Hitler. You know, we see them as bad guys, but what about themselves as the good guys? Their invasion in Poland was the greatest
story never told.
Yeah.
Sounds like Man in the High Castle. Have you seen Man in the High Castle? It's alternate history of where the Nazis won the war and, you know, people speak German in America. So tell me more about this. I want to know about
this.
That's
a pretty good that's a good show, actually.
I don't know about the second. It's weird. It's dark.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
We're not saying Hitler's good. We're just saying what if, you know. I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
Hitler wasn't good.
I think it's an interesting way they look at the evidence, and there's a different way to present it. Because you could look at a situation, for example, at Dunkirk, in which you had over 100,000 British soldiers, French soldiers, that could have been massacred, but Hitler didn't. They had them surrounded, and they could have just wiped them out, but he allowed them to escape. And the reason why is that Hitler thought that this act of charity, for example, would have led to negotiations for peace talks to end the war between them and Britain. But, you know, that didn't happen. So this is an interesting take of those facts and evidence and presenting the viewpoint, you can say.
Well, that definitely happens in The Man in the High Tower. I mean, not with Hitler.
Yeah.
Actually, they show Hitler as kind of pathetic in that. Like, you feel sorry for him. But the average German soldier is a good guy in that. I mean, it's all humans being forced by... I mean, I don't want to just say it's all the state. That's kind of just the libertarian boogeyman of everything's the state's fault. And there is evil that people have, and you know, the libertarian idea is that without governments, the evil would never be able to get so big you can't conquer it, like with Hitler, or you can't conquer it even for years. And I don't know about that, man. There's you know why I don't know if I believe in that? I mean, I still believe in liberty 100%. Well, in my heart, I believe it's the right thing, but the reason I don't believe, I won't say I don't believe things would be perfect without a government, but I will say I'm still baffled at how some of it would work. And I know that, you know, we can't know because governments won't let us try. And, you know, people say, whoa, we've tried anarchy. And that was never really what we're talking about. But like, for instance, I don't see how pollution would not overwhelm the earth without governments. And, you know, the common libertarian saying is, well, by shaming, you know, no one would buy from the companies that do bad things. But everyone buys from companies that do bad things now that they have a choice not to use. Everyone knows Nestle's evil, and people still buy from Nestle. Everyone, and the thing is about libertarians is the majority of them, in my experience, don't care about bad actors. Like, if they did, why would people like, you know, why would Adam Kokesh and even more so Austin Peterson and even more so Stefan Molyneux be far more popular than, you know, Mark Edge and Ian Freeman, who are good guys.
Or Mark Stevens.
Or Mark. Well, he's not one of the good guys. Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. Why is Mark Stevens, you know, in a libertarian free market, I think Mark Stevens would be starving to death because he gives really bad advice. And there's people in prison, you know, that wouldn't be because of his advice. And he doesn't really tell people that his advice is activism. He acts like it's legal advice that'll help them stay out of the maw of the government. And more times than not, with anything bigger than a traffic ticket, you know, it puts them in harm's way even more. I mean, to stand up in a judge in a felony judge drug case and say to the judge, what is your jurisdiction to be able to make these charges against me, is not going to go well in any court in the world, you know? In a felony drug case, where with judges who try those kinds of cases think they are gods. And the judges who try traffic cases, where he often does his voodoo, are just trying to get through the day. They're just like, ugh, okay, you can walk, get out of here, you know?
Yeah, for those kinds of cases, trying to go to the next case because they're always inundated. I can see that. He does tell people that he's not a lawyer.
Wait, are you defending him? Were you saying he's one of the good guys in this?
Whoa, chill. I'm saying that if he was a lawyer, I don't know, and this way of reading this sort of stuff, I think if there is someone who has money to try to use his technique, maybe it could go somewhere.
So when you said him, when I was saying that list of good people and bad
Lieutenants. I think he's a good person. I don't really? Know. I never heard about really? These. I haven't heard about this. Well, calm down. Calm the calamity that are your memories.
Well, I know somebody who was facing two drug felonies in Texas, in a rural town in Texas, in the court that busted both Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg, that court. And he contacted my friend when he heard about it and offered to help her and said, I can help you. And she thought he was an attorney, and he never said, I'm not an attorney. He says it once a show on his show, but he doesn't tell it to people when he contacts them and says, I can help you. At least he didn't in this case.
It's all over his website. All over his website.
She didn't see his website. He called her up and said, I can help you.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm going to have to agree to disagree with you on that one there, buddy.
Buddy. Yeah. Your buddy, pal.
Well, do you know that he and I have a long-standing beef, and he and I argued for an hour on Free Talk Live, who never lets people come on and debate? Do you know there's a record of this? Did you know he hates my guts and wishes I'd fall off the side of the earth? Did you know that his minions have gone en masse to try to torment me and dox me and haunt me on the internet?
No way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, get your fiends history straight. See, this is why I like doing shows with you, but I like doing shows slightly more with Daryl, because Daryl has listened to every single Freedom Fiends episode, and, you know, he knows all this. Like, he can quote Freedom Fiends episodes from 6 years ago. So, you don't know the history. You didn't get the brain you didn't inject the brain transplant drugs I sent that, like, just
I
put this all
about
in your brain.
With Cantwell. I've heard about that.
I've had quibbles about him like way before he was racist. It's not about that. He's just a doofus. And actually, I kind of feel, I wouldn't say sorry for him, but I kind of feel I'm not on his side, but I'm against the side of the government in all the legal problems he's facing now. I think it's all
BS.
Well,
the legal problems didn't really come from the government. The legal problems now is coming from
Virginia government.
Goad. Yeah. Well, I mean, Goad claiming that he pepper sprayed him in the face.
What a name.
Allegedly.
Goad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goad. And apparently that's not the case that occurred.
Oh, I saw the video. I saw it live when it happened, man. I was watching. Lou wrote me and said, he sent me a link and he said, this is happening right now. And I watched, you know, somebody was following the Nazi caravan through, like, literally places I know, like the back of my hand. The place where the girl was killed in the car is a block from where we used to have our punk rock shows on Water Street, on that same street. It was really surreal to me watching those days of that, because that's more my hometown than anywhere I've lived. I know it better than anywhere I've ever lived, including the town I'm in now, because I don't have a reason to go many places here. So, yeah, I saw it happen, and he was acting in self-defense, and he sprayed someone who was about to hit him, and the spray went on some other guy, Goad. That's who's going after him. Like, basically, he was downwind from this. And, that guy just has an agenda. And it is the government. It's the Virginia government. The Charlottesville mayor and the Virginia governor are inveterate liberals who were just appalled that happened in their watch, in their town. And they need to punish somebody. And it's Cantwell. They also just arrested a couple other people.
Well, the thing I'm stating is that there is no arrest that came from them. This is like the cops didn't go out there seeking out
Someone got convicted today of beating somebody in that. Did you see the video of the black kid getting beat up in the parking garage?
That black kid
was beating up other people. It was self-defense too, because I was watching that when it happened too. But one of the guys that beat him just went to jail today or yesterday. So it's not – Cantwell's not the only one. And, of course, the guy who killed the lady in the car and – yeah.
Right. I think that guy got like tens of thousands of dollars on like a GoFundMe or something like that. But
they wouldn't give it to him probably.
They don't show the video of him beating these people up, initiating.
Oh, that guy. I thought you meant the guy who crashed the car into people got money on GoFundMe.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. They don't show that part of the video.
The central scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say Charlottesville is definitely Virginia's California.
Yeah. Lived there. The local newspaper there is called the Daily Progress, and it's been that since before I lived there in 83. That's a commie paper name. Progress.
Yeah, these Progress. Something that I want to bring up real quickly this morning that I came across, I think is kind of funny. The Boy Scouts are no longer going to be called Boy Scouts anymore.
What are they going to be called?
I think they're just going to be called Scouts. they're going to drop the name Boy so they can welcome girls into the Boy Scouts. So it'll no longer be called Boy Scouts of America. It'll just be called Zer or Person Scouts of America. That's a name that Justin Castro would accept as well. Whereas they want to improve Girl Scouts, so they have to come over and kind of ruin Boy Scouts for everyone else. So.
Yeah, there's a... I was a Cub Scout.
Were you ever a Boy Scout?
Cub Scout. My brother's an Eagle Scout. I got kicked out of the Cub Scouts for curtsying. And I wasn't doing it as some feminist statement. I was just being a punk. I was like accepting some medal for, making a campfire and putting it out in front of, 100 people, like my whole troop and their families. And everyone was going up, getting their medal, taking a bow. There were like 10 of us. And I took mine and I did a curtsy. And they kicked me out for it. Yeah. I never liked authority.
Mm. Curtsy is in like the bow.
Curtsy is a woman's bow. It's where a woman, so it's an old timey thing where, I took an imaginary dress in each of my fingers pressed together on each side and like pulled it out and kind of like bowed. Yeah. It's a lady's bow from, the 1950s.
Mm.
You don't teach your women to curtsy for you?
I guess your wife does that?
She would if I told her I'd like her to.
So what do you think? What do you think about Boy Scout shaming and all that?
Oh, I think it's boy shaming? Boy Scout shaming? I think it's ridiculous. And I think, my answer is so cut and dry, normal libertarian answer that it's almost not worth saying, except that there's people listening on the radio who don't know what that is. And it's that anybody should be able to have private organizations where they make their own choices and they shouldn't have to bow to pressures or governments or anything except themselves. A really good example of the hypocrisy of the new left is, the bake the cake thing. What is it? I heard it the other day. So they want you to bake the cake, but there's another situation where they're like demanding that they be left alone to do their own thing. What is that? What's the other thing? What's in the news? You watch the news, don't you? Read the paper? Read papers? Read the internet?
No. The only thing I know about is right now, this Cub Scout thing. I was a Boy Scout once.
Yeah. You were a Marine, weren't you, too? Air Force?
Military. Yeah.
Air Force.
But anyways, it just seems like, one of the other areas in which kids can kind of escape, boys can kind of escape from... everything else would be like the Boy Scouts that can kind of go out there and not have to deal with the worst stuff that goes on in public schools, especially.
Yeah.
And do guy stuff, boy stuff. And a lot of people think that boys are the same as girls when, they're not. Not even just biologically, but there's a lot of other things that just they're not predisposed to kind of engaged in. So I don't know. I think it's, it looks like it sucks. I think it's, tragedy at this male-centric organization that's like I think 100 years old. It's gonna go away now.
And think it's bad that it's going away, not that it exists?
Yeah,
right.
I think it's bad that it's gonna go away. Yeah, because what's gonna end up happening is, of course, you can't have guys doing their own thing without female supervision. So you know, it seems like that's another way to kind of sneak that in there. They can't form their own opinions. They can do their own stuff without, you know, females being there to kind of judge all that stuff and change their conduct, just like they do in public schools, because the majority of the teachers in public school systems are 76% are women. You know, so for guys, I think this is a great escape from that kind of dominion. They don't learn the same way as girls. And I think the whole thing is, you know, it's not their fault that Girl Scouts suck. You know, there's also American Heritage Girls, and they do a lot of fun stuff. But, you know, aside from, you know, make Girl Scouts great again, you know, essentially.
Is there a libertarian or a conservative version of Boy Scouts now?
the Army. No, there was. I think it was called Rangers. I think I remember hearing about this like 2 years ago. Some ANCAP group. They're called like Free Rangers or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Thomas Sovel, I think, was one of them.
Right.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, that, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I think that's kind of go, you know, boys are not allowed to have their own thing and their own clubs, and it's called sexist. So, what about opening Girl Scouts to boys? You know, they wouldn't allow that. But,
yeah. Yeah, it's always one way. I mean, for instance, like, what's the analogy? Women want to be able to go into a gay bar, but there's a lot of lesbian bars that if a man walked into, they'd be in danger or just thrown out. There's a lot of two-faced things with that.
Yeah, and there's like women's colleges, like all women's colleges. Maybe they're starting to, I mean, they could say maybe the Boy Scouts attendance or recruitment rates are going down, and that's why they have, you know, they're being forced to open this up, but it could be other reasons too, but women colleges, all women's colleges, there's an incident which I remember reading about how they were letting in someone who's a man go in there because he identifies as a woman, and now that's kind of like ruining things even in women colleges.
Yeah. Yeah. People are people are a mess. Yeah. What is it Bukowski said? The more I deal with people, the more I like my dog.
Mm. Yep. And a lot of that stuff happens in California. I think like one-third of all the kids now, or 30% of children in these public schools, are identifying as like non-binary or some crap like that.
20%?
Wow. Like 20, 30%? Yeah, it's increasing.
It's amazing. Yeah, I don't know. I'm old. I'll be dead by the time it's really horrible. You won't. Have fun with that. So I'm like 20 years older than you. So, yeah, by the time it's really horrible, I'll be dead. And then You'll have to fight it out hand to hand among the zombies, the liberal zombies.
I think it should be easy. Me armed with guns, them armed with soot. You know, I don't think it'll be that difficult.
All right, redemption in the third act. What do you got here, buddy?
Buddy,
redemption would be. I think it's for a lot of families who was victim of the serial killer. Was find some peace. The Golden State Killer was recently revealed to have been a cop. So, you know, they had all these suspects, and, you know, this guy murdered over a dozen people, raped people, put up towards like 100 people, burglarized over 100 as well. And they had all these different suspects, and some people did suspect that this guy was maybe in law enforcement or knew something about law enforcement. And you know, lo and behold, this happened around the 70s. That he was finally caught. And the way he was caught was some of the DNA samples, or some of the evidence that they had, they registered it on like a DNA testing website, I think like Ancestor or 23andMe. And through that, they were able to find a relative of the killer, which would match one of the suspects that they maybe had. And it turned out that they were right. It matched someone who was they were looking at as well, and they caught him. But you're saying there might be some
non-redemption in that act? Well, yeah. Couple things. One is, I mean, yeah, it's better to have a killer caught and punished than not caught and roaming free and probably still doing it. But I think, and I'm sure you think, you know, that I'm guessing that you think that it's better to have aggressors make some kind of remuneration than just be thrown in a cage. You know, I mean, I think if someone rapes and beats your loved one, you should be able to make them be your slave for a couple of years or something. You know, wouldn't that be better? Or, you know, if you didn't have any money or his money or something, I mean, you should get something from the person. That's more justice, than just putting him in a cage.
Yeah, or if all the parties to the families agree, you know, all of them say, yeah, let's put him on a lineup and shoot at him all together.
Now, why should they have to all agree? What if 40% of them wanted, 60% wanted to kill him and 40% wanted to keep them as their slave working off the debt, the blood money?
Well, maybe this could go towards your idea of robots. So they can transfer his mind to a robot.
Yes.
Kill the body. Now that his mind has been, there's a copy of his mind uploaded to the robot. They could use now that robot as their slave for an indefinite period.
You know, there's actually a Freedom Fiends episode about that with Davy Barker about 4 years ago. And I will send you the image for this. You're going to just laugh and be like, wow, I guess the Freedom Fiends really have talked about everything. Because the image is me with my top of my skull exposed, with my brain coming out, with a horrified look on my face, surrounded by razor tape outside of a prison. Like, you know, we're talking about how they give people sentences of, you know, thousands of years for horrific crimes, or sometimes even, you know, for just running a website that's not a crime. They give you three lifetimes in prison when you didn't hurt anybody. But what if they could actually download your brain or keep your head, your severed head alive and functioning and feeling, and make you actually serve that 1,000-year sentence? And that's what Davy photoshopped up a picture of me doing. It's kind of horrifying. It's the thing of nightmares, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Send that to me.
I'll try to find it. There's over 1,000 Freedom Fiends episodes, and I can't remember what it's called, but I will try to do some Google foo and find it. Yeah, man. I think it is an interesting thing that he was a cop. Did he use his cop skills to avoid detection? Is that why they thought it was a cop? Because the way he hid evidence or something?
Yeah, I guess the way he was very evasive and made it difficult for them to actually find him, capture him.
Yeah.
You know, so it would be someone who's kind of acquainted with police work and their investigation.
Yep. So. Well, good. Sometimes they get it right. And, you know, they often won't prosecute a cop when they do something horrible, like even shoot someone in the line of duty that did nothing. But once in a while, they have to throw a cop under the bus so they just don't look, you know, so they actually look like they care about policing their own.
Right.
Yeah.
And this has came out something recently. There was like a renewed interest in the case that came out like a year or two ago. They put a $50,000 reward in his capture. And then so just kind of renewed interest brought in a new view over some of the DNA evidence. So which kind of led to his capture. Same thing with the BTK killer. A couple of years ago, the news put out a seg piece on him, and the BTK killer, who was still alive, wrote a letter taunting them. You know, after decades, after getting away with it, wrote a letter on a piece of paper he wrote at a church, and of course, the news agency turned it over to the FBI, who analyzed the newsletter, figured out what kind of paper it was, went to the distributors where this paper was sent out to, and found that this led to a church, and they found a typewriter and led to
it. Wasn't a typewriter; it was a computer, and this is the first time that they did micro analysis of a computer to find a criminal. It was he'd erased what he wrote. You know, he wrote the letters on the church computer. He was a deacon there, and he erased his document after he wrote it and printed it and sent it. But he didn't know, and most people didn't know back then, and some people don't even know now, that when you simply delete something on a computer, it doesn't go away. It's still there, and it's very easy to find. It doesn't even require a computer scientist now, but then it did. And they found it and basically confronted him, and he admitted it. But yeah, that was some, you know, occasionally they get it right.
Yeah.
Although they did not get it right with the Unabomber. The FBI loves to claim what great, you know, protectors of the world they are. And he, you know, there's actually a film. I'm just saying this because there's a film coming up about this right now, about how, you know, how great the FBI were in catching. They didn't catch him. His brother turned him in. Do you know about that?
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah. I think his wife recognized his
writing style.
Handwriting.
His rant. No, not his handwriting. They typed out, they printed his demand. Like he basically said he killed a bunch of people with mail bombs, and then didn't say, he's the reason you can't put an envelope more than 13 ounces in a mailbox. SOB. That's I have to stand in line at the post office a lot because of him. Because of the But they published his manifesto, which people often say, like, oh, it was horribly written and riddled with typos. I've read it. It was not riddled with typos, considering it was written on a manual typewriter by candlelight. It's pretty well written, actually. I mean, he was a PhD mathematician and a fairly brilliant one. But did you know that he also was volunteered for some brain tests at Harvard that were basically part of MK Ultra, where they tormented him? And he said it was like he was damaged permanently from it. It was horrifying.
No, never heard of that part.
Yeah, so it's the government's fault. The government made him what he is, more or less. But yeah, they printed it. He wrote this like 40-page manifesto that was very leftist, very communist, very socialist, and very environmentalist. And he said, you know, basically like his beef was with people who he felt hurt the environment. You know, it was university professors and people in the airlines who were involved in doing things that pollute. And he said that if the LA Times and the New York Times published his manifesto, he would stop killing people. And they debated for a long time. And I think one of them didn't and one of them did. And then it was reprinted a lot of places. And yeah, the Unabomber's brother's wife read it and said, honey, come look at this. This, you know, because he used like phrases that were used before, like they're weird phrases, and she'd only ever heard them from his brother. And that's how there's one, I forget who it is, but there's one candidate for being Satoshi Nakamoto that used a phrase that was very unique that was used in the Bitcoin white paper, and it's computationally improbable to reverse. That's the phrase. And there's a lot of people who think it's this one guy because he used that phrase before that in something.
That's really funny. So you're saying you're not Satoshi?
I'm not. I thought you were. No, I know who Satoshi is. I'm pretty sure. Can't say. Said it before.
You can't say if you said enough.
No, I haven't said enough. I think I know who it is, but I can't think of his name right now. He's dead now. He's a computer scientist. And the fact that he's dead too is like, I think it is him because he never spent any of the initial Bitcoin. What's his name? Yeah.
There's some guy in Australia, and there's this guy
not
in
him.
California that Newsweek went after.
Not
the wrong
him.
Guy.
Yeah. Neither of them. No, not the guy really named Satoshi Nakamoto. Not him. I think it's Hal Finney. Yeah. Pre-Bitcoin cryptographic pioneer. And the first he is the first person other than Nakamoto to use Bitcoin. This is a fact. Like, the first Bitcoin transaction was Satoshi sending some Bitcoin to Hal Finney. I think Satoshi was another computer in Hal Finney's office, basically, in that case. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep.
I think he's trying to get himself biologically frozen or something like that.
Hal Finney's dead. Is he?
Yeah, I think that's the case.
Is he frozen, like Mark Edge is going to be?
Yeah, it says Finney's body was transported from Scottsdale, Arizona, to a nearby facility.
Yeah,
Chronic. So he's going to be rich in the future. How about that?
Yeah. You know, very rich. Yeah, if he can remember his password. Because, you know, if he can't remember his password, it is going to be computationally improbable to reverse and get that password. That's going to be a problem. Wow. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, the company, what company is doing it? Is it Alcor? It's Alcor. That's where Mark Edge's head is going to be frozen. Do you know about that?
He's going to be there. That's so funny.
Yeah, he did it. He bought an insurance policy that he keeps up, life insurance, that pays out to Alcor. And if he is dead, you know, his wife's going to chop his head off with a carving knife and FedEx it to Arizona. No, I don't know how it works, but yeah, he has paid for that.
Nice. Yep. Way to go.
Yep. I actually did a Photoshop of his head in a jar, like Futurama style, that said, vote for Mark Edge 2020.
Nice.
Yeah, his head is going to be president 2020. Nah, he'll be alive longer than that. All right, man, I think we're good. You got any hope for liberty? Tell me quick how you think pollution wouldn't overwhelm the world. Technology without the government?
Everything would be privatized, so you'd be trespassing against somebody who can take you to court.
Would you be trespassing by, would it be like the guy who got sprayed by Cantwell downwind? I mean, if you were downwind for me and I was running a, you know, hog rendering factory and it smelled horrible, to the point where it was unlivable on your property. Is that really aggressing on you, though? It's air, man. It's just passing through.
They used to have court cases of this actual stuff occurring, or pollution from passing trains going down into like people's yards and messing up their clothes that they're hanging out, and the judge rule in their favor. So,
do you think in liberty, in libertarian paradise, would the judge rule in their favor? The private arbiter.
The arbiter known as Mark Stevens would. Yeah.
Oh, come on, man. in his dreams. You know what's funny about that guy? So this is funny. There's some guy, good friend and ex-fiend, friend of the show, James Weeks, has the head of his, the header on his Facebook right now is quoting some idiot he knows saying, so-and-so's header on Facebook is an ANCOM flag or an Antifa flag. And the guy's header was an anarcho-capitalist flag, and this guy didn't know. Well, Mark Stevens, there's video on YouTube of Mark Stevens giving a presentation with an ANCOM black and red flag behind him. Because this libertarian, this expert on, you know, anarcho-capitalist legal functioning went to Kinko's and said, I need an anarchist flag. And stood there while the kid printed it up and said this. And he's like, yeah. And he printed it. The kid Googled anarchist flag and printed it, a big banner. And Mark Stevens didn't know the difference between an ANCOM and an ANCAP flag. So that doesn't really give me much more faith in that guy.
That explains it. I was trying to figure that out, too.
Nope. Oh, you didn't know why that exists? Oh, you thought he was sitting at someone else's table? No, that's his table,
well,
man.
He has taken an anti-capitalist position in the past year or so.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Anti-capitalist position?
Yes.
Why? Because he's not making any money, so he wants ours?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he's being influenced by ANCOM literature. I'm not sure. But he's saying that capitalism is the rise or root of the state.
And you still like him?
His heart is in the right place.
Oh man! Well, you know, so are all the communists I stayed with when I was touring with my DIY or Die How to Survive as an Independent Artist film in Europe. And the only reason I ended up showing it in ANCOM squats was because Ian MacKay's in it, and ANCOMs love him. They freaking love Fugazi, man. And, you know, because he was in that movie, like, everyone booked me in Europe in their ANCOM squat. And I slept in ANCOM squats and showed that film before I really was politically aware. I didn't really know what ANCOMs were, but a lot of people I know don't even know any ANCOMs, but I have lived among them and smelled them.
Yeah, so, I used to hang out with them too.
Of course you did. Yeah. Well, you'll still approach them because you're like Jesus. You'll hang out with the prostitutes to, you know, show them your ways. I'm not talking about your private life. I'm talking about your video activism.
My video activism, right.
I'm not talking about your love life.
I keep those two separate.
Yeah, good.
Well, that's a great Fiend episode.
Yeah, man.
It's fun. Everyone who's listening, stay liberated.
I do want to say, you brought up Mark Stevens, because so now that there's going to be this flood of his fanboys, like one of them will hear this on LRN, and they'll write him, and then someone will transcribe it for him because he has fan slaves, and he won't actually listen to it because he's too busy saving the world from something. And all of a sudden, there's going to be a big kerfluffle on the internet, and everyone's going to be hating on me. You brought him up, not me. And this was not planned because you like him. Yeah. Well, you know, conflict is the essence of drama. This has been a great show.
There you go.
Great show.
It's been a great show.
Worms.
Take it easy, buddy. Worms.